Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, yesterday in the Bhagavad Gita, we were talking about the universal form, isn't it? Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, this universal form, what Arjuna was seeing, Krishna says to him, verse 13, Tatraigastam jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anegatha apashya deva devasya sharire pandavastada. So, what Arjuna has seen at that moment, Tatraigastam jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anegatha apashya deva devasya sharire pandavastada. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord, the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. So, universal form is an experience, Arjuna. It is another form of Maya. This universal form is actually Maya, Maya Darshanam. Vishwarupa Darshanam, it is called in the Bhagavad Gita. That means Vishwarupam, Krishna's Vishwarupam. And that Vishwarupam is nothing but Maya. Nothing but Maya. Maya Darshanam is Vishwarupa Darshanam. So here, Krishna says here, Krishna is sitting on the chariot. Arjuna is also sitting on the chariot while this is spoken. So what's happening there is, Arjuna is experiencing at that time the universal form of Krishna. The universal form of Krishna, which is in other words the manifestation of Maya there. So here we will see that Krishna says to him that we mentioned this also yesterday, that billions and billions of living entities are coming up from there, from the Chitshakti. They are staying here in this creation and they are disappearing into the same from where they have come. When they come from that Chitshakti, they get a name and a form, whichever way, whichever body they have accepted here. And ultimately, all of them belongs to Maya. In Maya's domain is all these living entities in that stage, isn't it? And that Maya is all Krishna's control. You remember? Ishasihi vashelovo yosha dharumai yatha in Bhagavatam says. And in the beginning of the first canto also, you will notice the same statement about Krishna is standing there, Maya is standing there, and Maya is covering us, covering Krishna from us. When it's spoken in a devotee's language, it is Krishna is standing there, Maya is standing there, Maya is keeping a cover of Krishna, not allowing us to see Krishna. In the Jnani's words, if the same thing is spoken, the soul is there, Jnanam is there, Ajnanam, ignorance is there, which is covering us, our distancing us from the knowledge. Ajnaninavratam Jnanam tenamukhyanti jantava. So, this Maya has come from Krishna. Maya has also come from Krishna. Therefore, Maya is not different from Krishna in that sense. So, it is that in the next verse you will see there, that the impact of this darshanam, Maya darshanam on Arjuna. What happened to Arjuna when he saw Maya? That is the next verse. Tada sa vishayam avishto vismaya avishto krishta roma dhananjayam pranamya shirasa devam kridanjalira bhashatam tadasa vismaya vishtam krishta roma dhananjayam pranamya shirasa devam kridanjalira bhashatam tadasa vismaya vishtam krishta roma dhananjayam pranamya shirasa devam kridanjalira bhashatam tadasa vismaya vishto krishta roma dhananjaya pranamya shirasa devam kridanjalira bhashatam Then, bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna began to pray with folded hands, offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord. So, this is the nature of Maya. Maya shakes someone when they see that. Maya shakes everyone. When you see Maya in front of you in this form, at the moment, we are not frightened of Maya, because she has withdrawn that form from front of us. She has made it more palatable for us at the moment. And what happened now? We get attracted by Maya. Isn't it? Maya's power is like that. Whichever form she manifests in front of us, it will change. It has its impact on us. It has its impact on us. Manastam vyoma tvam marudasi marud saradirasi tvam astvam bhumi tvai parinadayam nahi param tvam eva swatmanam parinamaidam vishyavapusha chidanandagaram shivayuvadi bhavena vibhrushem. Maya is considered as Jagadishwari, the mother, and Shrivarvadi is normally identified, Durga Devi as Maya, isn't it? Durga is the manifestation of Maya. Personified form is Durga or Parvati, whichever way you want to address her. So, in the prayers mentioned to her, Manastum Vyomatvam Marudasi Marur Saradirasi Tvam Astvam Bhumi Tvai Parinadayam Nahi Param. So, it mentions there that initially what happens is, from that Chitshakti, the mind pops up in a very subtle form. The mind pops up in a very subtle form. And it is from the mind, if you look in the creation, the space comes. Space comes from the mind. Space comes from the mind. And from the space, which is Akasham, comes the other material elements one after the other. Is it not? You know that process of creation, the Bhagavatam spoken about it. That first the mind comes from the mind comes the space. And from the space comes the air. From the air comes the fire. From the fire comes the water. From the water comes the earth. That is the sequence in which it manifests in the creation process, isn't it? So, it is the same Chitshakti, first manifests the mind, and then it manifests from that mind, the same Chitshakti comes through the mind and manifests as space. And again, it comes through the mind and the space and manifests, it is the change that's happening and manifests as air. And then from air, through air it comes as fire, and then from fire as water, and from water as the earth. So, the more and more it becomes gross, it becomes the earth. The more and more it becomes subtle, as it comes from mind to space, to air, to fire, to water, to earth, there is a reverse process also when it goes back to the mind again. When it goes back to the mind again. So, here practically it's only Maya is present. Maya is present. She keeps on transforming. Transformation is happening like this all the time. So, she, Maya Shakti, or this Chit Shakti, which has come about, then she has expanded herself and this creation has come in the way what we are perceiving now at the moment. This creation has come. But what has happened in that process is, when she has changed her form like this from one to another, we have taken it that all these things exist separately. That connection we have lost. Now, that is why it says here, Manastum vyomatvam marudasi marud saradirasi tvam astvam bhumi tvai parinadayana hiparam tvam eva swatmanam parinayamidam vishyavabhusham chidanandakaram shiva yuvadi bhavena vibhrushem. Chidanandakaram, her Chitshakti is her nature, pure consciousness. That is her nature. And it is from here that if you start the if you start going back in the reverse way, from earth you will go back to water. And from water you will go back to the fire. Fire to the air. And from air to the sky, and sky to the mind again. Sky towards the mind. So wherever the mind has popped up, if it goes back there and the mind goes back to the same place, and when the mind goes back to the same place where it has originated from, when it goes back and joins its place where it originated, there is a presence of the Chit Shakti, presence of the Chit Shakti. And the words used in the Shastram is Mayughavili, the Prakasham, the light that is present there. And that light that is present, when the mind got eventually dissolves itself in that Chit Shakti, that place, that is the state what is known as Samadhi state by the yogi. Yogi calls that as the Samadhi state. You see, whatever we may call through the yoga process, jnanam process, bhakti process, whichever process we may address, what's eventually happening is the same thing. That the attachment to the body goes, attachment to the mind goes, intelligence goes, identification with the body, everything goes. And then what happens? We go back in our existence from how we have come to this gross body. When you leave the gross body also, all the elements will go back to its own place where it came from. Which means in our more subtle form, we lose our grossness as the bodily identity and we become subtle and subtle and subtle. The more we become subtle, what happens? Eventually we end up with only the mind, only with the mind. By then all the elements have gone. Elements have already left us. And it is that mind also, when it gets destroyed, remember so far we spoke in the Bhagavatam also, it is with the birth of the mind we are born. With the maintenance of the mind, sustenance of the mind, we live. When the mind gets destroyed, we die. That is the spiritual terms. In the material terms, when we take birth, when we have a birthday, when we get the body. And then we keep on living in this body, and then we call that is our life. And when we lose this body, that is our death. In spiritual angle, from spiritual side, it is not like that. Body's death, body's birth is no reference given there. Everything has come from the mind. From the mind it was born, and the sequence what it was spoken. And eventually when the reverse process happens also, in the same way lose all the elements, and eventually the mind goes, when the mind is also eventually destroyed, what is left there at that point is that Chit Shakti. And that state is Turiyam, what is known as Turiyavastha. Turiyavastha means it is beyond Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. Beyond Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In Jagrat and Swapnam, in those two states, mind is still present, isn't it? In Sushupti states, although it dissolves, when you come back into the Jagrat state, it comes back again. Why? It is not actually fully destroyed, even in the deep sleep. That is an important point. It gets dissolved, it has no function at that time, but when you come back to Jagrat state, because it was not totally destroyed, it comes back with its original package. In other words, all the karma vasanas inside, all the thoughts, sankalpam what it has created, everything will come back again into Jagrat, and you continue the next day with all those thoughts behind it. So you can see the impact of the mind in our existence here. So, this is important, that everything is, these things are only understood by the yogis who are practicing the Ashtanga Yogam. They understand it. Because they know that is when you go to more subtle level. In the Jnana Margam and Bhakti Margam, these things are not given so much importance. But yogis, because they give a lot of importance, they're closely observing their mind and seeing the way the mind is moving, the movement of the mind, and it is losing its identity. So as soon as you can see here, that as soon as that Chit Shakti, this mind pops up, and along with that the mind sound also pops up. You remember in the 12th chapter, when Uddhava asked that question, what was the question, Uddhava's question? Uddhava said, I still have a lot of doubts, Uddhava said there, isn't it? And Krishna did not answer the question straight away. What did he say? Sayesha jivo vivare prasuti, that few verses, you will notice there. That Jiva's birth, Krishna talks about there. Instead of answering Uddhava's question, directly started talking about the birth of Jiva. So there he mentioned there that with the mind what was born dhvani. Dhvani means anahata nadam, that they call it. Yogis call it as the sound that is originating from the kundalini. That is the yogi's terminology. But Krishna uses that. Jiva also, the same soul who is, it is all happening under the adhishtanam or the basis of the soul. All these things are happening. From the soul, the birth of jiva is a very interesting thing, isn't it? We are always discussing whether the jiva was here before, or whether jiva was in Vaikuntham, what happened to jiva, how did jiva come, all these things. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the birth of jiva is as much as in relationship with the Atma. Atma's presence is always there. And in that Atma, Chitshakti, all these things are happening there. All these things are happening. And we, because of our identity with the body, mind and senses, ego, everything, individuality has taken very strong in us due to the presence of false ego. The presence of false ego. So, Krishna mentions in that 12th chapter that along with the mind, there is also the dhvani. Dhvani means that sound, pranavam, or which is originating from the bottom of our, what do they call this, the chakras, the bottom of the one, the lowest one. Muladharam. Muladharam, from they originate from there. So, Krishna says here, eventually Krishna says, and while talking about the sound, he mentions there, from Muladharam, it comes up, it keeps coming up. And the nature of the sound changes at that moment. That is why we heard about the four kinds of sound, isn't it? Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama, Vaikari. When it is in the Kundalini state, it is Para. Then it keeps moving, Pashyanti. When it is in the mind, it is Madhyama. When it comes through the lips, when its most gross form, it has become Vaikari. These four states of the sound. So, Jiva takes birth along with the Para. Paranadam and the Jiva simultaneously comes from the Kundalini point. This is from the yoga side. It's not much different in the Jnanamargam also. It's very much the same. But the yoga process is different than the process of Jnanam. The process in which this understanding is not different in Jnanam and in the yoga. Whenever I say yoga, Ashtanga Yogam, it means. It's not different. But when it comes to self-realization, the process the yogis follow is different than the process Jnanis follow. So, from yoga point of view, this chanting the holy name, it's not that only it is in bhakti process, it is in other process as well. Jnanis also chant, yogis also chant, but with a different understanding they chant. We chant the holy name for what? To develop Krishna consciousness, isn't it? We want to become Krishna's devotees. And we value the holy name as the vehicle to approach Krishna. The vehicle to approach Krishna. Yogis also use the holy name, but with a different understanding. If they continue to chant the holy name, they know very well that the mind will eventually become, take the form of the sky. Akasha Swarupam. Akasha Swarupam. In other words, that from the mind the sky has come. The sky has come. So, eventually, all the other material elements also, in their gross forms, will leave him through the process of chanting. Yogis chant with that purpose. Yogis chant with that purpose. Everything will get dissolved through the process of chanting. That is how they see the chanting process. Devotees chant the holy name with a different goal. Yogis chant the holy name with a different goal. Jnanis chant the holy name with a different goal. Chanting is there in everybody. Everybody chants. Yogis also chants. Jnanis also chants. Devotees also chant. But with three different goals. That's all it is. So, so that consciousness, awareness, bodham, what it is referred to, actually that is the substratum, adhishtanam, isn't it? That is the real thing. That's what exists. Just like we talked about this before, the cinema screen exists. Cinema has no reality, isn't it? Cinema, we go sit there a couple of hours, we see. And when the cinema is over, what exists back is only the screen. Cinema is finished. Movie is over. Similarly, in that screen, which is this Atma, the Bodham, awareness, it is in that awareness all these things are happening, what we are witnessing now in this world, what we are witnessing. And that is all Maya. That is all Maya. What is explained as Maya. So here he says here, reality, only that awareness is there. Bodham alone exists. So Krishna is manifested here in front of Arjuna in that universal form and transformed himself into this world. In whatever way Arjuna was thinking, in that form Krishna was present in front of him. Chidananda akaryam shivayodi bhavena vibhusham vishvabhusham. So Chidananda akaryam. Chidananda means that out of that Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is Chidanandam. Chit Shakti and Anandam. That is Chidanandam. Chidanandam, it is referred in another word used is Chidanandam. Chidananda means Chitta and Anandam, both. The very nature of that Adhishtanam, the basis. So, that Chidananda Shakti, it transforms and brings in front of us in the form of this world. In the form of this world. And if we continuously reflect on that, this principle, what Krishna has spoken, how the Chit Shakti develops and manifests in different forms, that Chit Shakti and Anandam eventually transforms itself in different forms, in the form of mind, the sky, the material elements and the gross body and intelligence, ego, everything. All that transformation, what's happening from there, if you constantly reflect on that, Krishna says here, you will know that it is all non-different from Krishna. Non-different from Krishna. In other words, Krishna is what you see as the world. It is Krishna, what you see as the world in the language of the Jnani. In the language of the Jnani. Because this chapter is referring to Jnana Yogam, we will use that terminology here. In the words of the devotee, Krishna is present in this world everywhere, in every form. We realize that Krishna's presence is there. That is devotee's approach. Jnani's approach is that Chit Shakti combined with Anandam, Chidanandam it is referred to, that Chidanandam transforms itself into the mind and the space and all the other material elements and all of the names and forms, what you see here is all non-different from that source from where it came from. Where it came from. That is what is mentioned here. And if one comes to know that it's all Krishna who is present there in all these different bodies, once you come to know that, what happens then? That is where Anandam manifests in a person. When that realization comes. That what I see in this world, what I experience here, it's all Krishna. It's all Krishna and Krishna's energy in different forms. When that happens, Shastra Bhagavatam says here that you cannot have any more hate towards anybody in any form. No hate or ragam or dvesham and no attachment, fear. All these things goes away at that stage. At that stage. There is nothing to be fearful about. Which, what can you fearful about? And so in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same thing is spoken through Prahlada and Narasimha Murthy. Prahlada and Narasimha Murthy. So, if a father dresses up like Narasimha Murthy and comes, the son won't get frightened because son knows it is his father. It is his father. If he knows it is his father, he won't get frightened, would he? Because he knows it is his father. Father is dressed up like this, Narasimha Murthy. So, whereas in Bhagavatam, what do you see? When Krishna took that form of Narasimha Murthy and when he came, all the demigods got frightened, including Lord Brahma. Brahma was frightened, Shiva was frightened, everybody was frightened, Mahalakshmi was frightened. You will see that in the Bhagavatam, that is how it is presented there, isn't it? And there is a prayer from everyone glorifying Narasimha Murthy to become peaceful. Narasimha Murthy to become peaceful. But you have noticed that Prahlada did not get frightened. Prahlada went there and went and paid his obeisances to Narasimha Murthy. Prahlade vadayo nyavabhaye Karunya Bharakulam. Karunya Bharakulam. And Narasimha Murthy asked Prahlada, Prahlada, are you not frightened? There is in the Bhagavatam, you will see that conversation between Narasimha Murthy and Prahlada. It's a very interesting scene. Brahma was there, Shiva was there, all the Mahalakshmi was there, and so many Indra was there. Then Siddhas, Charanas, Kinaras, all other great personalities, they were all there. When they also, Narasimha Murthy's form, they got frightened and they withdrew from there. They didn't want to get closer to him. Brahma says to Lakshmi Devi, you go and pacify him, seeing that anger in Narasimha form. Brahma thought that Lakshmi Devi, if she goes and speaks to him, probably he will cool down. Narasimha Murthy will cool down. But Lakshmi Devi was looking for the exit, for the door, to get out from there. She was so frightened seeing that anger in Narasimha Murthy. But it was then that eventually they all thought, he has come because Prahlada was the reason behind it. Let's ask Prahlada to go and speak to him. And that's how Prahlada was asked to go and talk to Narasimha Murthy. So when Prahlada went to Narasimha Murthy, Narasimha Murthy says to Prahlada, are you not frightened seeing me like this? Prahlada says, no. Karunya bhara kula. Karunyam, that is the mercy of Narasimha Murthy, is like that too. Only to Prahlada. Prahlade padayo namanyam abhaye karunya bhara kula. So Prahlada says, this form is familiar to me, he says. This is Krishna. It's not different from Krishna, he says, to him, looking at him. So that confidence to say like that, Prahlada had in him. And although, when you look at Narasimha Murthy, is that Ugra Narasimha form, with that tongue coming out, and with all that lion-like face, and the dhamshtra, or the teeth, canine teeth, or what they call that, powerful teeth, and that anger, the eyes which were like copper emitting the fiery rays from there. All these things normally was sufficient to put anyone off from there, frightened of that form. But Prahlada was not frightened. So sometimes in our life also, Krishna takes this Narasimha Murthy's form. In our own life, it happens. In some form of very unpleasant experience, it can happen. But completely, totally in unexpected form, in some distress, it will come to us also. So, and it is at that time, we have to understand that that is another form of Krishna. Another form of Krishna, just like Prahlada saw that form. That is what it is. That in our own life existence here, we should be able to say that when such a distress comes in life, distress can always come, isn't it? There is no time that distress won't come. Somehow every day life goes on like this. We keep the body going and keep the relationships going, and somehow wherever there is a little problem, we try to patch it up and keep the life going somehow. But one day suddenly everything can break up and go also. You can get a direct hit straight away. When that hit comes, sometimes you won't be able to withstand that. That is why in Bhagavatam it says there, if you become like Prahlada, how he approached Narasimha Murthy, when distress comes in life also, that is also Narasimha Murthy's another appearance. And just like Prahlada said that this is Krishna who has come, the distress when it comes also, we should be able to say it is Krishna has come in that form. Krishna has come in that form. And that is why Krishna is showing this universal form to Arjuna. And once you see that, whatever you may see, everything what is going on in this creation, Arjuna could see in that universal form. And that is why you will notice here, when Krishna was showing the universal form to Arjuna, he keeps saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, keep looking at it, all what's going on there in that universal form. There was very good things happening there and very bad things going on there. And very auspicious thing and very inauspicious things were going on. On one side, there was earthquake, there was accident, drought, floods, everything was going on in that universal form. On the other side, there were people getting married, having family life, children, and another side of life. All this is present in that universal form when Arjuna was witnessing that, in that universal form. So, somewhere people, it's all the nice things in life, most of the people look for, isn't it? Getting married, wife, family,
and children, acquiring a lot of wealth. This is our so-called happiness in this world, is it not? So all this is going on in the universal form. On the other side, in the same universal form, Arjuna also saw the disasters, what was going on there. And he also started realizing all these things are happening within the background of Vasudeva, Krishna. Once you see it like that, you won't have any more complaint about anything. Now we are complaining. Why? Because we are not seeing the other side of Maya. We are only seeing the softer side. And most of it is giving us a little bit of pleasure in this world. So therefore we are saying, no, this is okay. I can live with Maya. I don't have a problem. Maya has got another side, which she has, sometimes she shows. And when she shows, at that time, we get worried about it, isn't it? Just like this big natural disasters, earthquake, floods and cyclones, Katrina or whatever we call that name. We are given the names to Maya's different agents, but we don't know what to do with her. That is the problem. So whatever it may be, this is what Krishna says here. See all of them together in one place at one time. When you can see that, then you will know what is going on here. We get so much disturbed about it, there is nothing to get disturbed over it. It is she who is showing her form in a completeness. That is universal form. So, once you know that, whom will you blame for anything? Whom can you blame? And what is there to reform here in this creation? We are talking about reforming the world, changing the world, isn't it? We want to reform the world. Make it a better place. She won't allow you. You can try. Life after life you can come and try to reform the world. But she has her own decision. She has already made what she is going to do. She will fool us like this, day after day. In some form or the other, she will throw us into this illusion and make us saying that. So that's why it says here. That also what happens is, with this universal form, what has happened to Arjuna is, selfishness goes away. So that is why, you know that verse, Krishna puts it at the very end of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadharman parityajyam amegam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarvabhavebhyo mokshayishyami maashucham. So, in order to come to that stage, initially we have to come to know that everything is Krishna. Krishna is present in everything. When we recognize that, this fear will go. And surrender will come. So universal form has helped Arjuna to get rid of that fear from him. After seeing the reality, this is how Maya operates in this world, which is nothing but the universal form. When Arjuna saw that, he started realizing this is what it is, all this creation. Up to that time Arjuna was thinking, Bhishma is and Drona is against me, Duryodhana is my enemy, I have to sort them out first and we have to get back our kingdom, all that. But when he saw in this universal form, on one side Mahabharata war was going on. Many people whom Arjuna was meant to kill later, they were getting killed already in the universal form. Some of them were getting swallowed inside. Some of them were coming out through the mouth. All that form, anega vaktranayanam, anega albudadarshanam, anega divyabharanam, divyanego didavidam, divyamalyam vardaram, divyagandhanulevanam, sarvascharyamayam devam, anandam vishwadomukham, divisurya sahasrasya, bhavedyugabaduttida, idivasadrishisyasyal, basastasya mahalmana, tatraigastam jagalkrishnam, pravibhaktamanegada, apashyadevadevasya, sharire, pandava, stada. That is that verse. Krishna is saying, Arjuna is saying, tatraigastam jagalkrishnam, the whole creation in one place. That is the beauty of that. Staying in one place, Arjuna standing there, tatraigastam jagalkrishnam, if we want to see this whole creation, sitting here we can't see. We can only see this localized area, isn't it? But in Arjuna is experiencing the whole creation standing there, sitting on the chariot. Tatra igastam jagal krishnam pravibhaktam anegatha. At the same time it's all separated, he is seeing there. Apashyad deva devasya. all in Krishna's body. Sharire Pandavastadaha. Pandava, Arjuna has seen this at that point. So, surrender, it led Arjuna to surrender. This darshanam, Maya darshanam, Vishwarupa darshanam, has helped Arjuna to surrender. Arjuna started seeing this and he saw this whole creation. Everything that is happening under Maya is all he saw there in one place in Krishna's body. So, when that happens, Arjuna's mood was this. Sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja. Arjuna started understanding that there is nothing I have to do here. There is nothing to change here. There is nothing to reform here. I don't have anything to do here. Maya is doing everything on her own. She is capable of performing this. So, particularly, Arjuna also realized that he has no duty either. He has no duty either. You see, when we don't understand universal form, we think, we completely forget about this 11th chapter and we start picking up pieces from Bhagavad Gita and start saying, oh, I have got this duty, I have got that duty. But if you see the universal form, all your duties will go. In a very few minutes, you will know what is your duty then. That is that duty. Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamegam Sharanam Raja. Only to bring Arjuna to that understanding, Krishna has to show the universal form. Arjuna realized there is no such thing called a duty. Prabhupada calls it a self-created duty. From a transcendentalist point of view, from a spiritual point of view, from the self-realized state, these so-called duty and everything what we talk about doesn't exist. These things exist in the initial stages when you come to spiritual realization. One who has seen the universal form and one who has understood the position of Krishna, what he is, what is Krishna. Prabhupada always say, let us try to understand Krishna. You may wonder, what is his understanding Krishna means? There's a class about, one of the classes, Prabhupada mentions, let's try to understand the Krishna, he says. So you start thinking, what is this understanding Krishna means? This is what is that means, understanding Krishna means. When you start understanding Krishna, what happens? Duties go away, responsibilities, everything go away. You only simply, you can do one thing. What is that? Sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam. You can't do anything else after that. The complete surrender to Krishna, there is nothing you can do more than that at that point in time. So, once when we surrender to Krishna like that, then you have the freedom. You have complete freedom after that. Then you have no more responsibility after that. And but so long as we think, oh, this whole life is in my hands, I have to manage it properly. That is what is called kartratvam, isn't it? Kartratvam means I am the doer. That ownership, I have to do this, I have to do this, I am responsible for this, those things will leave. Those things will leave. And as long as we keep on thinking, I have to do this, I have to do that, there is also tension associated with that, the stress associated with that. But when you come to know that I have nothing to do in this world, and when you come to know that I have nothing to do this in this world, and with full surrender, chanting the holy name, and handing over all responsibility to Krishna, when you do that, when you do that, it is like this. Some people, you won't see this. I don't know here because I have not traveled a long distance here in the train. But in India, you know, you can travel long, long distances in trains. Say from, you want to travel from, say, Kashmir to Kanyakumari. You want to travel by train. It's a journey for about 56 hours or something in the train. So sometimes you will notice some people, they'll have a reservation. Say, you know, they have that three tire, two tire berths in the compartment. So they'll come, they'll put their luggage and they'll go to sleep. They'll get up, they must have something to eat and they'll go to sleep. And you know when they'll get up? When the train reaches Kanyakumari. 2-3 days they will stay there in that berth. Because why? They know once they come out from their berth, there's always all the noise and sound and people and everything in the railway platform and beggars and all sorts of problems. Or you can be, things can be stolen. You have to guard against millions of things.
you have to guard against, millions of things. So they thought the safest thing to do is to go to the birth, your own birth, which is earmarked for you. You put your blanket or bedsheet or whatever it is, lie down and go to sleep. And you will start thinking, how does he sleep like this? 2 days, 3 days, day and night, no, never getting up from there. Then you start understanding his mood, what his mood is. He says, I got this is my place, I'm going to be there and I'm going to forget about this journey and I'm going to sleep. And he will sleep like this. So similarly, there are people, very few people like that, but there are some people like that. So as soon as they get in, they will sleep. And the surrender process is like that. Surrender process is also like that. Krishna is saying, you surrender. And after that you have nothing to do. You can go to sleep once you surrender. You don't have anything to do after that. But if you think that you have a lot to do, some people on the other hand, they will not sleep. They will sit there planning things. Nowadays they will take out their laptop or iPod or something like that and start, oh, I got this email. I have to check my email now. Yeah, or I have to listen to some classes, or they'll put these things around and sit there 24 hours and listening. So it's very nice to see some of them, how they react to that. The music, they'll be shaking their heads and all that things. And you may think, why is he shaking the head? Because he's connected to some music, he's listening. Anyway, so similarly, Krishna is saying here that that person who has got onto the top berth, he has no tension. He knows that one day the train will get there. One day the train, it may be 48 hours, 56 hours, whatever time it takes. So, and he's not bored or anything. But, and the same person, some of them, they travel 4 or 5 times like this in a year, back and forth, for various reasons, business or whatever it is. So, they will only go to sleep, and once they come to the sleep, then they will wake up when they get to the destination. In other words, a surrendered soul is like that. A surrendered soul is like that. He will give up all the other activities and hand over everything to Krishna and leave that to Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants to do, that is his problem. It's not my problem anymore. That is the approach. Similarly, one who has surrendered in life also to Krishna, all the responsibility goes on to Krishna's shoulders. But if we start thinking, I have to achieve this, I have to achieve that, then it becomes Krishna, goes a little bit difficult also at that time. We are actually simply in Krishna's hands, Yandri. Yandri means it's an instrument. And Krishna is the operator and we are the machine. Krishna is engaging us in doing so many different things, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes happiness, sometimes distress, but everything, it is ultimately the same. But whatever happens, if you simply surrender to Krishna at that moment, accepting that, that is our freedom. That is our freedom. Fully surrendered soul is a liberated soul. Sharanagati, that is why Sharanagati is important. You will see in the bhakti process also, some of the fine literature, the best literature on Sharanagati, you can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati prayers. In that prayers, if you read carefully, you will see that Sharanagati brings liberation. Sharanagati brings liberation. So Sharanagati, person who has surrendered or properly fully surrendered, he is liberated. He is liberated. Why? He is not keeping any responsibility to himself anymore. It is all in Krishna's hands. Whatever Krishna does with him, he accepts that. Good or bad is not in his calculations anymore. So, it is for this reason, after that Sharanagati, there is nothing to do. And that is why that verse Krishna has kept at the very end of Bhagavad Gita. For this reason. For this reason only, Sharanagati is the last thing. After Sharanagati, there is no responsibility anymore. It's just like the man who is sleeping on the berth. He knows that I've given, handed over everything. This is my allowed. I have nothing to complain about anything. I've accepted what I've got. I'm going to sleep. In the similar way, a person who has surrendered to Krishna, he has no more duty to fulfill into anyone in this world. Tektva sodharmam charanambujam harir bhajanna pakveda pade tado yadi yatrakkavabhadramabhudamushyakim kovartha aptobajadam swadharmadam.
In the Bhagavatam you will see this verse. When Srinarada Maharshi asked, Vedavyasa Maharshi asked Srinarada Maharshi this question.
Narada Maharshi is saying to Vedavyasa, Vedavyas, it is like this.
Tektva swadharmam charanambujam.
One who has given even his swadharmam, everything has gone, finished with him.
Bhajan charanambujam harer bhajan.
And he has taken complete shelter of Krishna. Complete shelter of Krishna.
Bhajan avakveda pade tato yadi.
But in that process, he was not completely apakvam, in a bhajanam, in his bhajanam, in his Krishna consciousness, somehow or the other, he did not become perfect. He did not perfect in his life. That will always happen, isn't it? Narada Maharshi's case, it happened.
Dhruvamaya's case also, it happened to some extent.
That it hasn't come to the perfectional stage. Therefore, Narada Maharshi had to come back again, isn't it?
So, Sri Narada Maharshi says there, bhajan apakveda pate tato yadi,
that before it becomes pakvam, completely matured, he fell. The body dropped, body lost.
Narada Maharshi's case, that's what happened.
Before he became matured in his spiritual life, pure Krishna consciousness, before that the body was fallen away, body is lost on the way.
Yatrakava bhadramabhudamushekim.
What is the loss? Sri Narada Maharshi says to
Vedavyas, what is the loss then?
Is that inauspicious thing? What has happened?
Kovartha apto bhajadam swadharmada.
Because he has fallen to the right person, because he has surrendered to Krishna and taken Krishna shelter, under no circumstances he is going to be in any way behind anybody else.
Kovartha apto bhajadam swadharmada.
In fact, Narada Maharshi says there, he is even better than a person who has followed the Varnashrama Dharma principle properly in this world, but he did not develop Krishna consciousness. That can also happen. Varnashrama Dharma is there to help you to become Krishna conscious. It's not a guarantee that you will become Krishna conscious.
Varnashrama Dharma, Krishna spoke in the Bhagavatam, is only to assist us. It is a favorable environment for developing Krishna consciousness.
But it can happen that you have not reached the perfectional stage of bhakti.
So it is better even than that is a devotee who has taken properly surrender to Krishna.
That is the importance of Sharanagati.
Sharanagati there. So coming back to this, Krishna is saying here that Jivan Mukti, one who has seen that universal form, Vishwarupam. Vishwarupam, the benefit of that, the Vishwam is controlled by Vishveshwara, Krishna. Isn't it? That realization will come to the person when he sees the universal form.
When you see that universal form, you will recognize that this world, this creation, I have nothing to do here. It is managed by this great personality standing in front of me, like Arjuna saw.
Krishna is created this world, Krishna is managing this world.
Krishna is managing this world.
When this realization comes, what will happen? We will know that we have no responsibility here.
This is the beauty of that universal form, isn't it?
At the moment, because we have not seen Krishna's universal form, we have taken it that we have a lot of responsibility here, isn't it? We have to sort this world out. We have to sort so many things in this world.
But universal form, the realization Arjuna had was that he understood that all attachment has gone to anything. All these things happen simultaneously in Arjuna's mind. All attachment has gone away. Krishna, Arjuna understood who is Krishna, what is Krishna's position. The fear, attachment, ragam, dvesham, all these things disappeared suddenly. All responsibilities, everything gone.
Normally all these things must happen in a person who is progressing in the spiritual path in due course of time, isn't it?
But on this spot for Arjuna, all this happened at the same time, in one place, while listening, seeing this universal form of Krishna.
So, attachment, special attachment what we have in this world, that will go when you see that universal form.
Why? Ultimately, there is only Krishna who is present in everything.
In Krishna, all these things are happening. Everything is happening. Krishna is the background. In that Krishna, everything is happening. So if you notice that in the Bhagavatam, there is a statement, Atha, in the Kundidevi, Kundidevi says, Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpa, Vishwamurte Chakeshume, Snehavashamimam Chindi, Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. That state. Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpa, Kundidevi's realization of Krishna. Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpa, Vishwamurte Chakeshume, Snehavashamimam Chindi, Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. Kundidevi is saying to Krishna, you can see Kundidevi has come to the same realization, but not after seeing universal form. In a indirect way, she has reached the same state. That's why she is saying exactly the same thing what Arjuna is saying to Krishna now. Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpan Vishveshwara. Vishveshwara means the controller of the whole creation. Vishwalpan, the soul of everything. The soul of this creation is Krishna. Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpan Vishwamurte. That means who is the predominator of the whole creation. Snehavashamimam Chindi. Snehavasham. Snehavasham means at the moment Kundidevi is saying, I have a tight rope of attachment. Tight rope of attachment. One towards Pandava. They are my family. And the other side to the Vrishnis and the Yadavas. This is Sneha Pandushu and Vrishnishu. Pandava side, that is from the husband side, to the Pandu and Pandavas, all that one side. On the other side, through Vasudeva, Devaki, Yadavas, Krishna, and all that. Another side of Kundidevi, isn't it? Kundidevi is related to them also. Krishna's father's sister is Kundidevi, isn't it? So from the father's side, that attachment in that way. And through the Pandu side, that attachment to the Pandavas. Both sides, I have this knot, he says. And requesting Krishna, you cut this knot. This side as well as that side. If you can do that for me, Kundidevi says, I'm free. So, Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpan Vishwamurte Chakeshume Snehavashamimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. There are one or two verses more there in the Bhagavatam. If you look at there, you will see that Atha Vishvesha Vishwalpan Vishwamurte Svakeshume Snehabhashamimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu Toime Ananya Vishaya Madhir Madhubade Asagrad Ridim Udduhada Dagdham Genge Vaukham Uthanvadi. These are all words from Kundidevi. Kundidevi saying to Krishna, Toime Ananya Vishaya Madhir Madhubade Asagrad Toime Ananya Vishaya. The Kundidevi's prayer to Krishna is, let me not feel myself separated from you. Ananyushayam. Why? Madhir madhubade asakrit. Just like the bee which goes to drink the madhu, honey, from the flowers. Madhur madhubade asakrit. How that is attached to the flower, to the honey. Similarly, my intelligence, my mind be attached to you in the same way. Let there not be any separation from that. Ready udduhada dagdha genge vaukhamudhanvadi. Let me feel that pleasure of being with you. In other words, not being separated from Krishna in any time. Separated from Krishna. Ready udduhada dagdha genge vaukhamudhanvadi. Just like Ganga River is flowing to the sea, isn't it? Ganga River is flowing to the sea. Ganga wants to join the sea all the time. She is always in a rush to get to the sea. Get to the sea. So similarly, my mind also, looking neither this side, that side, let it flow continuously towards you. Then after that, the famous close glorification in the Bhagavatam of Kunti Devi. Shri Krishna,
Krishna Sakha Vrishnushabhavanidrik Rajanyavamshadahanan Abhavargavirya Govinda Godhuja Surartihara Avadara Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. So you can see Kunti Devi's prayers is also not much different than from Arjuna's prayers. So that is what Kunti Devi is saying to Krishna, that these form Vishvesha Vishwalpam Vishwamurte Sokeshume. All that words, if you look at it, you will see there one who is the controller of this creation, Vishveshwara, and one who is the soul of this creation, Vishwalpama, and one who has taken this form of this creation, Vishwasurupam. Ada Vishvesha Vishwalpam Vishwarupam. See that? I don't know how Kunti Devi has managed to get all these things together in her prayers. It's so nice how she sees Krishna. She is seeing Krishna, Visheshwara, who is actually nothing but who is the controller of this whole creation, Vishwam. Vishwam means the controller of the creation. Vishvesha Vishwalpama also is the soul of this whole creation. Vishvesha Vishwalpama. Vishwamurte Sokeshumim. Then, Vishwasurubam. Surubam means the world itself is Krishna's another form. Adha Vishvesha Vishwalpama Vishwamurte. Vishwamurte. Vishwamurte means the one who has taken the form of this Vishwam, this creation. Then, what is that stopping me in seeing this form of Krishna? Of this world as a form of Krishna. We are unable to see that at the moment, isn't it? We are unable to see this world as Krishna's form. What is that blocking us? Mainly, Kunti Devi says, it's due to my attachment. Kunti Devi has come to the conclusion. Attachment to my relatives, my friends, brothers, mothers, sisters, everywhere, I have attachment there. And that is what she says to Krishna. Cut this off from both sides, attachment. Snehabhashamimam chindi dridam. Dridam means it's very powerful attachment. Very strongly attached. Pandushu, Vrishnishu. Both sides, if you can cut it off, then I will start seeing you, Krishna, as Vishvesha, Vishwalpaman, Vishwamurte. Otherwise not. So, you can see Kunti Devi, how intelligent she is, isn't it? How advanced she is. And that her realization, you see, Kunti Devi went through a lot of distress in life. You have to remember that. From that distress and her experiences in the world, if you remember when Karna was born, that incident with Karna and the son, Durvasava Maharshi coming to see Kunti Devi, gave this benediction to Kunti Devi that if she was given this special benediction, isn't it? Any of the gods she could invoke and they will come in front of her. In her childishness, she invoked the sun god. He came. He came and he said to her that you have to have a child from me. I have been asked to come. And he had come. Kunti Devi didn't know what to say at that time. She said, I was only testing it out. The mantra what Durvasava has given to me. You can see Kunti Devi's situation at that time. And then that sun god gave her, Aditya gave her this special benediction that you will remain as a virgin, in spite of that, you will have this son. And Karna was born like that. And from the birth of Karna's birth onwards, if you look in Kunti Devi's life, it's all distress. All the way through. For Kunti Devi, Mahabharata war is a fighting between Karna and Arjuna. Kunti Devi see it like this. Kunti Devi was not interested in her own two sons are going to kill each other. And Kunti Devi tried very hard to avoid that situation, but it was not meant to be. Kunti's distress, if you see in the Mahabharatam, particularly in Mahabharatam, you will know how that distress was turned into this bhakti, what she had for Krishna. So, it is Krishna, and Kunti Devi understood one thing from all her own experience, that it is due to the attachment to the different family members, this, that and the other, that she is suffering. Vairagyam had come to her. It is from that Vairagyam, Kunti Devi developed this faith in Krishna's, that she understood that the only way I can come out of this whole mess, that before anything happens, surrenders to Krishna and says to him, Adavishesha Vishwalpan, Vishamote Sokeshume, Snehavashamimam Chindi, Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu.
And Sukadeva Goswami puts this Kundi Devi's prayers as the first prayer in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. Kundi Studi
is the first prayers. So, Ananya Bhaktihi. What is an Ananya Bhaktihi? She says there. Ananya Bhakti is that even for a split second, I should not forget you. If you say that, what it means is, from a devotee's point of view, you should not forget Krishna for a second. From a jnani's point of view, even for a second, you shouldn't forget, move away from self-realization, from the soul. That's all the difference is. So, and that was the benefit of universal form. What Kundi Devi has spoken about this, the same experiences who had Arjuna also had by seeing the universal form at that time. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, while this universal form has experienced, as you know, that the goal of spiritual life, as far as Krishna is concerned, is Shanti, isn't it? Shanti is the word used in the Bhagavad Gita. Tataparam Shanti Mupayati Sakshal. In the Navayogi Samvadam, you will see the word mentioned is Shanti. Shanti is the proper terminology. Because Shanti, Anandam, Bhakti, they all refer to the same thing. Okay, in different contexts, it is used in different words. But in essence, it means the same. In a sense. So, Shanti is the goal. And because only in Shanti state, you will achieve perfection. Perfection is possible only in the Shanti state. Why is it like that? Because Shanti is the nature of the soul, is the pure nature of the soul. Nowhere else you can become perfect. Perfection is not possible. All other emotions, what you experience in this world, they will come and they will go. They will go. All the, say for example, sometimes yogis or even jnanis or even devotees, they will sometime come up that I had this experience in my life. I had this particular experience in life. Sometimes they say, I had this experience in my dream. Sometimes they will say I had this temporary, for a short period of time, some kind of realization. So that is, anything that is coming and going is not permanent, isn't it? That comes and goes. And because it is like that, that is also put into the category of happiness and distress. Even though you may say it is spiritual, it is put into the category of happiness and distress. The only thing that is acceptable from self-realization point of view is Shanti. Why? Shanti is one thing, if one has got it, it won't leave him again. It's permanent. Whereas all other darshanam, for example, you can see in many, many great devotees' cases, they had darshanam of Krishna. Many great personality. For a short period of time, Krishna has given them some experience in their life. Like Narada Maharshi had, isn't it? For a short period of time, Krishna showed himself Narada Muni. Narada Muni saw Krishna. After that, Krishna disappeared. He didn't come again. And he told him, you can see me next lifetime. Till then you have to wait. Isn't it? You know that in the first canto. So that kind of experience many, many devotees had. It's not only Narada Muni had. If you look into all the great devotees, sometime or the other, they had a vision of Krishna. Krishna Darshanam, it is called. Krishna Darshanam. They all had Krishna Darshanam. But that darshanam is also not truth. Darshanam is also not truth because that has come and gone. Therefore, it's not truth. Anything that comes and goes is not truth as far as the shastram is concerned. So, just like happiness and distress, happiness comes and goes. Distress also comes and goes. Similarly, so many darshanam also will happen. That's also not truth. In the same way, Visharupa Darshanam, universal form, is also not truth. Because it comes and goes. You see? You have to see the background of Visharupa Darshanam. Visharupa Darshanam, because it is Maya, it is changing, it comes and goes, it is categorized
not as a completely spiritual thing. Completely spiritual thing. It is put in this category as Maya's category, and he's saying here that that Krishna, if you study Bhagavad Gita, you have to relate all these things in the second chapter, you'll see. Agamabhayino nityam tam tidikshasva bharada. Krishna says in one of the verses, this is the name. Matrasparshastu kaunteya shidoshna sugadukhada agamabhayino nityam tam tidikshasva bharada. You know that verse, famous it is, all devotees know that verse. And they will tell you also that what that verse means. Matrasparshastu kaunteya shidoshna sugadukhada. Krishna is saying there, that matra, matra means a measure, or sparsham, sparsham means to touch. Kaundeya Arjuna, heat and cold, shidam and ushnam, happiness and distress, you will experience at different levels, in different levels, matra, different measure, you will experience that. When you experience that, you have to know, agamabhayino nityam, they are not permanent. They are not permanent. This principle, Krishna expects us to keep it in our head all the time. What is that? When heat comes, you have to, summertime comes, or when very hot weather comes, Krishna is saying, telling us, remember this, that it's not permanent. It's not permanent. Similarly, when the cold weather comes also, we should know that it's not permanent. So, the nature of heat, cold, happiness, distress is all coming and going. Coming and going is the nature of that. So, if you understood this coming and going principle, even seeing Krishna is also like that. Krishna says you have to put it to that category. It is also coming and going, but that is not perfection either. You may say that I have seen Krishna one day, but that is not guaranteed that because you have seen Krishna, you won't come back again to this. Accept another body. There's no guarantee there. That is where do you balance this? Self-realization and vision of Krishna. There are many people who have seen Krishna. Otherwise, all those who are present in this world, when Krishna was present here, they should have all got liberated, did they? They didn't. Many people had to come back. Is it not? So, Krishna darshanam, or seeing Krishna itself, is not a guarantee that you don't have to accept another material body again. What Krishna is saying here is that matras prashastu kaundeya shitoshna sukadukkada. That is why in that second chapter, that verse, normally when we study that verse in the first time in the Bhagavad Gita, we will think like this. What do we think? We think that Krishna is saying, Prabhu, you have to tolerate heat and cold. It's not only tolerating, that verse is telling us. The verse is telling us that understand this principle behind it. What is that principle? Anything that comes, it has to go. Coming means going also. Coming and going goes together. Nothing will come and stay, it will go. If it has come, it has to go. That principle we have to understand. That is more important than heat and cold. And just like heat and cold, Krishna says, happiness and distress also will come and go. So anything that is coming and going is not truth. Is not a truth. This is the principle Krishna is putting through that. Krishna consciousness, if you see in the way Krishna has spoken, is a beautiful science of this life in this world. Bhagavad Gita is telling us, anything that is coming and anything, it has to go one day. Matras prashastu kaundeya shitoshna sukadukhada agam apayino nityam. Nothing is permanent. Tam titikshasva bharada. Therefore tolerate it. If you have learned to tolerate that, this, even when you see universal form, the same thing applies here also. Because it has come to you, it will go. It won't stay. Any darshanam, whether it is universal form or any other form, eventually will disappear from the front. So, here, Krishna is saying here that this is the same principle that is followed in Vedantam also. There are certain very underlying principles in Vedantam also. They are very firm on that. And if you catch those principles, you can see that Krishna's words are absolute. There is no question of any kind. It can never change. It's not a principle that you can change any time. So solid is that the words, the thought Krishna has spoken here.
So, first thing, Krishna talks about the truth in a very firm language, isn't it? In a very firm language, Krishna talks about the truth. You remember? The whole second chapter, that is the beauty of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Establishing the truth very firmly and very clearly, without mincing the words. Without mincing the words. Speaking very straightforward and very firmly. What is that? Nasade vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade sada, ubhayoravedrishtvandam, stanayor tatvadarshivim. And similarly, many other verses after that. Dehinosven yathadehe, kaumaram yavanam jara, tatha dehandara praptir, dhirastatra namukhyadi. All these verses are the satyam, the truth. There is no, you can't change them. They are truth forever, for all times to come. So here, Krishna is saying here that you have noticed there that in order to take Arjuna to that state of truth, truthfulness, that to completely convince Arjuna, Krishna will now and then show certain things. This universal form belongs to that category. To convince that truth, what Krishna has spoken in the beginning, to convince that to Arjuna, Krishna has shown certain things. Certain pastimes are also in relationship with that. And this universal form is also one in relation to that. So, if you look at Krishna's time in this world, when Krishna was here in this world, it is the best example. Krishna was born as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, isn't it? So, that in their previous life, Vasudeva and Devaki were great sages, were they not? Sutapas, Prishnigarbham, and Aditi and Kashyapa was the one life before. Both were great sages, Aditi Devi and Kashyapa Prajapati, great personalities. Prior to that, Prishnigarbha and Sutapas, isn't it? So, in those two lives, they were great sages. That Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi and then Sutapas and Prashni. So, in so many lifetimes, they have performed penances. And in spite of all that, they have performed penances. In spite of all that, what has happened to them? All their austerities and penances and yogam, everything. Because there were no knowledge, proper knowledge in that time, they did not know that the ultimate goal of the life was this shanti. This was that happened to them. That is the reason that they have asked Krishna that they should come as their son. For three times they asked Krishna, isn't it? So three lifetimes they had to appear. In spite of performing so much austerities and penances, because the right knowledge was not there at that time in them, to get that knowledge, they had to wait, come as Vasudeva and Devaki, and Krishna had to send Srinarada Maharshi to them and to instruct them in the form of Nimi Navayogi Samvadam to Vasudeva and Devaki, and only after that they came out of that darkness. This is Krishna's parents. Imagine that. How important Krishna is going to say in this chapter, what we are going to discussing now, that the knowledge, importance of knowledge, you cannot reject that. It is a part of spiritual life. It's a part of the spiritual life. So he says to him that that if we have not known that the realization, self-realization is the goal, if not knowing that, if you execute so many austerities and penances, it is useless. It is useless without knowing the goal. So, there are so many things which are related to this, but it is now 6:30. I think we'll stop today. We'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.